Jesus, what a friend for sinners, Jesus, lover of my soul.
Welcome to the Unknown Bible, the broadcast ministry of Bible Believers Baptist Church in Corpus Christi, Texas. Join us now for today's Bible study with our pastor, Bevins Welder.
We are often asked, will we recognize our loved ones in heaven? I don't know if you've ever been asked that question. I don't know if you've asked that question. But it comes up from time to time, and I've heard it, I don't know, enough times over the last 30 years that I figure it ought to be answered. Will we recognize our loved ones in heaven? I believe the answer to that question is yes. Now, when this question comes up, you can't just turn to a verse in the Bible that says, ye shall recognize your loved ones in heaven, because that verse doesn't exist. So what you have to do is you have to look at other verses where people who have died or people who have left the earth appear, and then you can begin to understand why I said, yes, I believe we will recognize our loved ones in heaven. As an example, turn to Matthew chapter 17, Matthew chapter 17, and look at verses 1 through 4. The Bible says in Matthew chapter 17, verse 1, after 6 days, Jesus taketh Peter, James, and John, his brother, and bringeth them up into an high mountain apart, and was transfigured before them, and his face did shine as the sun, and his raiment was white as the light. And behold, there appeared unto them Moses and Elias talking with him. Then answered Peter and said unto Jesus, Lord, it is good for us to be here. If thou wilt, let us make here 3 tabernacles, one for thee, and one for Moses, and one for Elias. All right. Now, when do you ever think that Peter, James, and John would have seen Moses and Elijah before? This is the appearance of Moses and Elijah with Jesus Christ on the Mount of Transfiguration. Peter, James, and John recognized Moses. They recognized Elijah. And they knew who they were when they saw them. Yet they had no prior knowledge of what they looked like. There were no photographs. There were no paintings hanging on the wall. This is what Moses used to look like. You know, they recognized these men whom they had never seen before. Moses had died more than 1,450 years before this appearance. Elijah had been taken up more than 900 years before they saw him with Jesus Christ. They had no way of knowing who these men were, and yet when they saw them, they knew them. And Peter even speaks of making tabernacles for Moses and Elijah. So, you know, I say, if Peter, James, and John, who had never seen these men, recognized who these men were and saw Jesus talking with them on the Mount of Transfiguration, then these men have maintained their individual identities, and there was some recognition even though they'd never seen each other before. So that's interesting. That's one of the things to consider. But for another example, let's look at the rich man and Lazarus in Luke chapter 16. In Luke chapter 16. All right, in Luke chapter 16, verses 19 to 31, very, very famous passage of Scripture. Not a parable, even though people with Jehovah's Witnesses would have you believe that it is. It's not. There's no mention of it. The people have names. And furthermore, a parable is to teach you a spiritual truth that is harder to understand than the parable. Yet the parable itself is true. I've asked a Jehovah's Witness one time before, then if that's the case, what is this parable trying to show you that's harder to understand than what's being said? And the parable itself has to be true. So you understand that that's crazy. This is a real thing. These are real people. There's a real beggar named Lazarus. There's a rich man who was clothed in purple and fine linen and fared sumptuously every day. All right, now the beggar dies. When he does, he's carried by the angels into Abraham's bosom. That's verse 22. The rich man also died. He was buried, and he went to hell. All right, now, when you see these two men, they knew each other while they were on the earth, because that Lazarus had been laid at this rich man's gate. He wanted to be, he wanted to be fed with the crumbs that fell from the rich man's table. And when they died, Lazarus went to Abraham's bosom. That's where all the Old Testament saints went when they died. And the rich man went to hell. These are two compartments in the heart of the earth, separated by a great gulf, according to verse 26 of this passage. So they can see each other, they can communicate with each other, but they just can't, the rich man can't leave hell and go into Abraham's bosom, and Lazarus can't leave Abraham's bosom and go into hell. All right? In Luke chapter 16, verse 23, this rich man lift up his eyes, being in torments, and seeth Abraham afar off, and Lazarus in his bosom, and he cried and said, Father Abraham, have mercy on me. He recognized Abraham. And he also recognized Lazarus, and send Lazarus that he may dip the tip of his finger in water and cool my tongue, for I am tormented in this flame. He recognized those men after death. Now, here's something interesting. Their bodies, Abraham's body, Lazarus's body, the rich man's body, they were all in the grave. These are souls. And although Abraham had died more than 1,800 years before this incident, that rich man knew him as soon as he saw him. And even though they had just died, the rich man and Lazarus, not long before this, he recognized Lazarus. And they're not looking at their bodies, they're looking at their souls. And he knew him. Let me give you another example from the Old Testament, 1 Samuel chapter 28. 1 Samuel chapter 28. Now I realize you're dealing with Old Testament people here, but you are still dealing with people whose bodies are in the grave and whose souls are in these various places. The body of Elijah had been taken up, but Moses was, and his body had been taken up, and they appeared on the Mount of Transfiguration, but there were centuries that separated, Peter, James, and John from these men. Lazarus and the rich man were contemporaries. Their bodies are in the grave. They're looking at each other now soul to soul, not body to body. And Abraham, same thing. Now, in 1 Samuel chapter 28, you're dealing with Saul, who is the king, and Samuel. And the problem is that Saul is not getting an answer from the Lord. So he goes to a woman with a familiar spirit, and he instructs her to bring up Samuel, because Saul wants to inquire of him. And this episode takes place in 1 Samuel chapter 28, verses 11 to 14. Then said the woman, Whom shall I bring up unto thee? And he said, Bring me up Samuel. And when the woman saw Samuel, she cried with a loud voice, and the woman spake to Saul, saying, Why hast thou deceived me? For thou art Saul. There's one. She recognized him, even though she didn't know who he was, because he had disguised himself. And the king said unto her, Be not afraid, for what sawest thou? And the woman said unto Saul, I saw gods ascending out of the earth. And he said unto her, What form is he of? And she said, An old man cometh up, and he is covered with a mantle. And Saul perceived that it was Samuel, and he stooped with his face to the ground and bowed himself. An old man cometh up, he's covered with a mantle. Well, when Samuel came up and the woman described his form, Saul knew immediately, as verse 14 says, that it was Samuel. Now, in this case, like in the case with the rich man and Lazarus, they had known each other by sight when Samuel was alive. The description given by the woman with the familiar spirit evidently fit Samuel's physical description when he was alive, and so Saul recognized, this is who I came for. So, the question is, will we recognize our loved ones in heaven? Peter, James, and John, who had never seen Moses and Elijah, recognized them. The rich man recognized Lazarus, and he recognized Abraham, whom he had never seen. They were not contemporaries. Abraham had died more than 1,800 years before. Saul and Samuel recognized each other when they spoke. So we have these examples in the Bible. Now, when we, who are New Testament saints, when we die, we're not going to have the same physical characteristics that we have in the bodies we now inhabit. Samuel, he was still an old man, and he was covered with a mantle. We're not going to look like we look now. We're going to change. We're going to have brand new bodies. Turn with me to 1 Corinthians chapter 15. 1 Corinthians chapter 15. And look, beginning in verse 50, down to verse 55. 1 Corinthians chapter 15, verse 50 to 55. Now this I say, brethren, that flesh and blood cannot inherit the kingdom of God. So we can't inherit the kingdom of God in the bodies that we now inhabit because these are flesh and blood. We'll have flesh, but we're not going to have the flesh and blood that we have now. Cannot inherit the kingdom of God, neither doth corruption inherit incorruption. Behold, I show you a mystery. We shall not all sleep. Watch it, but we shall all be changed. So we're going to be changed. In a moment, in the twinkling of an eye, at the last trump, for the trumpet shall sound, and the dead shall be raised incorruptible, and we shall be changed. All right, two classes of people in 1 Corinthians 15, 52. The dead are going to be raised incorruptible, and we, that is, those of us who are alive and remain at the coming of the Lord, are going to be changed. Verse 53, this corruptible, that's something that's already in the grave, must put on incorruption. And this mortal, that's something that hadn't died yet, but will, mortal, this mortal must put on immortality. So when this corruptible shall have put on incorruption, this mortal shall have put on immortality, then shall be brought to pass the saying that is written, death is swallowed up in victory. O death, where is thy sting? O grave, where is thy victory? So there's a change. There's a change. Corruption puts on incorruption. Mortality puts on immortality. All right, turn with me to 2 Corinthians, 2 Corinthians chapter 5. All right, in 2 Corinthians chapter 5, notice, there is a difference between the earthly tabernacle, the body that we now inhabit, and the heavenly tabernacle, the body that we will inhabit when we are raptured. 2 Corinthians chapter 5, verse 1, all the way to verse 8. For we know that if our earthly house of this tabernacle were dissolved, we have a building of God, an house not made with hands, eternal in the heavens. For in this we groan, earnestly desiring to be clothed upon with our house, which is from heaven, if so be that being clothed, we shall not be found naked. For we that are in this tabernacle do groan, being burdened, not for that we would be unclothed, but, here it is, clothed upon that mortality might be swallowed up of life. Now, he that hath wrought us for the self same thing is God, who also hath given unto us the earnest of the Spirit. Therefore we are always confident, knowing that whilst we are at home in the body, we are absent from the Lord, for we walk by faith and not by sight. We are confident, I say, and willing rather, to be absent from the body and to be present with the Lord. So we're going to leave this body, and we're going to be present with the Lord. And we are earnestly desiring to be clothed upon with our house which is from heaven. That's verse 2. You know what that means? That means our appearance is going to change. That's right. We're going to be changed. And not only does the corruption put on incorruption, the mortality put on immortality, but the features of the body change. Turn to Philippians chapter 3. Philippians chapter 3, very important. The question that we're answering is, will we be able to recognize our loved ones in heaven? I believe we will. And we're now studying what happens to New Testament saints when we die. And we are seeing that our bodies change. And in this change, even our appearance changes. Philippians chapter 3, verse 21. Verse 20 for the context. For our conversation is in heaven, from whence we also look for the Savior, the Lord Jesus Christ, who shall change our vile body, that it may be fashioned like unto his glorious body, according to the working whereby he is able even to subdue all things unto himself. Okay, so our vile body is going to change, And it's going to be fashioned like what? Like unto his glorious body, according to the working whereby he is able even to subdue all things unto himself. So our body's going to change. We're going to look like Jesus, according to Philippians 3:21. As a matter of fact, let's go to the first epistle of John, 1 John chapter 3, and we'll see this again. 1 John chapter 3, look at verses 1 through 3. 1 John chapter 3, verse 1. Behold, what manner of love the Father hath bestowed upon us, that we should be called the sons of God. Therefore the world knoweth us not, because it knew him not. Beloved, now are we the sons of God. The Bible says, as many as received him, to them gave he power to become the sons of God, even to them that believe on his name. So we're sons of God. And 1 John 3, 2 goes on to say, it doth not yet appear what we shall be, but we know that when he shall appear, we shall be like him, for we shall see him as he is. Every man that hath this hope in him purifieth himself, even as he is pure. So we're going to change, and when he appears, we're going to be like him. We're going to have a glorious body, a house that's in heaven reserved for us. And you know what that's going to look like? It's going to look like Jesus Christ. According to the Bible, we're going to look like Jesus Christ. We are going to be conformed to the image of Jesus Christ. Turn to Romans chapter 8. Romans chapter 8, look at verse 29. Romans chapter 8 and verse 29. In Romans 8:28, we have that famous, fabulous verse, and 8:29 goes on to say, for whom he did foreknow, he also did predestinate, watch it, to be conformed to the image of his son, that he might be the firstborn among many brethren. So our bodies are going to look just like Jesus. And that's a wonderful thing. Now, that in that interesting statement is kind of leading to, then how are we going to tell the difference? If everybody looks like Jesus, how are we going to tell the difference? Well, notice something. In Matthew chapter 22, verse 30, Jesus told the Sadducees, when they were asking the question about a woman who married seven brothers, didn't have children by any of them, married one after the other after each one died, and they ask, whose wife will she be in the resurrection? They don't even believe in the resurrection, so they think they've got a real question that's going to stump him. And in Matthew chapter 22, and in verse 29, the Lord says, you do err, not knowing the Scriptures nor the power of God. And then watch this explanation. For in the resurrection, they neither marry nor are given in marriage. Which certainly makes sense, because we are sons of God. So they don't marry, they're not given in marriage. Watch it. But are as the angels of God in heaven. So our appearance is going to be as the angels of God in heaven. And you know what the angels of God in heaven look like? They look like Jesus. They look like Jesus. Go to the book of Revelation and notice something very interesting that happened. The Apostle John, who wrote the Revelation, and obviously knew, he knew who Jesus Christ was, certainly knew what Jesus Christ looked like, twice fell down at the feet of an angel. Two different men, two different angels, fell down at these feet of these angels, mistaking them for the Lord. That's what Jesus was saying when he said to the Sadducees, but are as the angels of God in heaven. He mistook them from the Lord. Look in Revelation chapter 19. In Revelation chapter 19, verse 9, he saith unto me, so there's somebody speaking to him, right, blessed are they which are called to the marriage supper of the Lamb. And he saith unto me, so the same person is talking, these are the true sayings of God. Now when John saw this person that was talking to him, he says in verse 10, I fell at his feet to worship him. And he said unto me, see thou do it not. I am thy fellow servant and of thy brethren that have the testimony of Jesus. Worship God, for the testimony of Jesus is the spirit of prophecy. So this man that's talking to him looks like Jesus Christ, but he's not Jesus Christ. Otherwise, John would have never bowed down to worship this fellow. So he mistook him because of the appearance. They're the same. That is, the angels look like Jesus Christ. All right, Revelation chapter 22. Same thing happens in verse 8. I, John, saw these things and heard them, and when I had heard and seen, I fell down to worship before the feet of the angel which showed me these things. Then saith he unto me, See thou do it not, for I am thy fellow servant, and of thy brethren the prophets, and of them which keep the sayings of this book, worship God. So John twice falls down to worship these angels, and I don't believe John's going to worship an angel, not after the close relationship that he had with the Lord Jesus Christ. The reason he does is he mistakes them for the Lord Jesus Christ. Yet each of these angels identified himself to John. One said, I'm your fellow servant, and of thy brethren the prophets, and of them which keep the sayings of this book. The other one said, in Revelation 19, he said, I am thy fellow servant, and of thy brethren which have the testimony of Jesus. Probably two different angels looked the same, and he says, No, you got the wrong guy. But each identified himself to Jesus. Now, this is very, very important. Do you remember what happened? Because we're talking about mistaken identity right there, right? Okay, well, do you remember what happened when Jesus Christ rose from the dead? When Jesus Christ rose from the dead, Mary is the first one to make it to the tomb. And then she goes and she gets Peter and John, and they come and they look. And there's back and forth. People are looking. The women are there. And they're trying to figure out what happened to Jesus Christ. Remember all that? All right. There is a time when Mary is there alone. And she wants Jesus Christ. She wants to see him. And she wants to find out where he is. She wants to find out where his body is. She is coming to anoint that body. And she surely doesn't want that body of her Savior, the man that she loved, you know, to have been stolen by a grave robber. Okay? Now, in John chapter 20, verse 13, the angel said unto Mary, Woman, why weepest thou? She saith unto them, Because they have taken away my Lord, and I know not where they have laid him. And when she had thus said, she turned herself back, watch it, verse 14, and saw Jesus standing, and knew not that it was Jesus. Jesus saith unto her, Woman, why weepest thou? Whom seekest thou? She, supposing him to be the gardener, saith unto him, Sir, if thou have borne him hence, tell me where thou hast laid him, and I will take him away. So she still doesn't recognize that she's talking to Jesus Christ. But then in verse 16, Jesus saith unto her, Mary. She turned herself and saith unto him, Rabboni, which is to say, Master. She immediately recognized him as soon as he called her name. Do you get it? And so what are we saying here? We're saying that although these angels looked like Jesus Christ and John mistakenly tried to worship them, what happened with Mary in that grave area, in that garden where the grave is, in John chapter 20, is that at first she did not recognize that she was talking to Jesus Christ. We're talking about recognizing our level was in heaven. But as soon as he called her name, she knew immediately who it was. And yet he hadn't changed his appearance, and yet he didn't show her hands and feet and pierced side, any of that. He simply called her name. So what I believe is that when we do look like the angels of God in heaven, and we have a characteristic that it matches our physical features to those of the Lord Jesus Christ, that there's this recognition, there's this ability to recognize each other, just like with these Old Testament saints, and just like she was able to recognize Jesus Christ as soon as he identified her, called her name. So though our physical features will match the Lord's, our ability to recognize each other should still be the same. It's like what Jesus told these Sadducees. I am the God of Abraham. You know, this Sadducees he was talking to in Matthew chapter 22. He goes on to say, I am the God of Abraham and the God of Isaac and the God of Jacob. God is not the God of the dead, but of the living. Abraham, Isaac, and Jacob are still alive. And they have maintained their individual identities. There is Abraham, he is a man. There is Isaac, he's a man. There is Jacob, he's a man. There is Moses, he's a man. There is Elijah, he's a man. There's the rich man, he's a man. There's the Lazarus, he's a man. There's Jesus, there are these angels. There's John, you see. These people are still there. Abraham, Isaac, and Jacob are still alive and have maintained their individual identities. Therefore, This is why I believe that we will recognize our loved ones in heaven. As each of these Old Testament saints retained their individual names, Samuel, Saul, and identities in eternity, we should likewise have our individual identities in heaven as well. I believe that. Like the angels that John saw, you know, like Mary saw Jesus, you know, we might have to tell one another who we are, but that we're still who we are. That doesn't change. Just the physical features change. And thank God they do. Wouldn't you rather look like Jesus Christ than you would like yourself? I would. Absolutely. So, like the apostles who saw Moses and Elijah, we might just recognize each other as they recognize them. But as in the case with Mary and Jesus, as in the case with John and the angels, we might have to identify ourselves to each other. Now, it's a very interesting question. Perhaps in your own study, you'll come across some other verses and expand this a little bit. But the truth of the matter is, if you have trusted the Lord Jesus Christ as your Savior, you're a son of God. You're going to look like the Lord Jesus Christ with a glorified body when He comes to rapture us out of the earth and take us to heaven to be with Him forever. And I'm thankful for that. If you have not trusted the Lord Jesus Christ as your Savior, you miss out on all of this. And the best thing for you to do is to realize that because of the death, burial, and resurrection of the Lord Jesus Christ, because He died for your sins, because of the promise of eternal life, you can trust the Lord Jesus Christ as your Savior and be saved and become a child of God. As many as received Him, to them gave He power to become the sons of God, even to them that believe on His name. Believe on the Lord Jesus Christ, and thou shalt be saved. The beauty of that is that when you die, you don't die. Your body dies, but you live forever. He that liveth and believeth in me shall never die. You see, the Bible is a fabulous book with fabulous truth and shows you in no uncertain terms how you can be sure that you will be in heaven with the Lord when you die physically and be with Him alive spiritually forevermore. I pray that you will receive Jesus Christ as your Savior, and if you're saved, that you will rejoice in your future with the Lord. Amen.
You have been listening to The Unknown Bible, the radio ministry of Bible Believers Baptist Church in Corpus Christi, Texas. For information about our church, go to our church website at www.my3bc.com. That's my3bc.com. If you would like to contact us by telephone, our number is 361-241-6100. Bible Believers Baptist Church is a Bible-believing church located at 1701 Rand Morgan Road. If you are not currently a member of a Bible-believing church and you are looking for a church with an uncompromising stand on the words of God, come visit with us this Sunday or Wednesday. We would love to see you.
Hallelujah.